Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Kiddush HaChodesh, perek Yud Zayin. This long perek begins with the words Kol Hadvarim Shehikdamnu Kedei Shiyu Atidim Muchanim Lidiyat HaRi'ah. Our perek is the culmination and the ultimate purpose of this entire unit of Hilchot Kiddush HaChodesh since perek Yud Aleph. The Rambam's goal in these prakim is to explain how to determine if the moon is visible at a given time, specifically shortly after sundown on the night of the 30th of the month, when a sighting of the moon is likely to decide whether that day will become Rosh Chodesh. In the last six prakim, we have learned where within the outer celestial sphere to find the sun and where to find the moon on any given evening. In the case of the sun, this is always a spot along its circular path, the ecliptic, which until now has been our equator around the outer sphere. Therefore, one type of degree measurement is enough for the sun, its longitude or orich along the ecliptic. But the moon travels along a different path, and we measure its position by orich and rochav, longitude and latitude, as we explained and calculated in the last parak. In order to use this information to determine if the moon will be visible, we need to take into account another motion, which we haven't discussed yet at all, but which is most familiar to all of us, the daily 24-hour rotation of the Earth about its axis, or as the Rambam would put it, the daily revolution of the entire outer celestial sphere around the Earth. It is because of this motion that we see the sun, moon, and stars rise in the east and set in the west over the course of the day, every day. The first illustration in the image file available with this recording, labeled 17.2, shows the basic concept. The axis of the Earth's rotation is tilted at an angle of 23.5 degrees. This tilt is responsible for the seasons and the changing durations of day and night over the course of the year. More about that in Perek Yud Tet. The equator dividing the Earth into a northern and a southern hemisphere is labeled Kav HaMashveh on the diagram. This is the term in modern Hebrew. And the Rambam uses the similar term Kav HaShaveh. For someone standing on the equator, the sun, moon, and stars rise and set in the exact vertical direction, perpendicular to the horizon. At every other location in the world, this motion is at an angle, which is just 90 degrees minus the latitude of that location. Since Yerushalayim is at latitude 32 degrees north of the equator, the angle at which the sun and the moon set is 58 degrees. Look at the second illustration in the image file, which shows the path taken by the sun, the left dotted line, and the moon, the right dotted line, as they set. Both dotted lines are at 58 degree angles from the horizon. These angles are labeled in red. This illustration does not show the ecliptic, but we'll see it in later illustrations. For now, we note that the angle between the ecliptic and the path of the setting sun and moon is exactly the tilt of the Earth's axis, 23.5 degrees. Now to get to the topic of this perek, the visibility of the new moon in the evening. What makes the moon visible? At the beginning of the month, the moon sets soon after sunset, so it will be visible only after the sun sets, once the sky darkens a little, and only if the sun and moon are far enough apart for the sky to get sufficiently dark before the moon itself sets. The critical number which we seek in this perek is called the Keshet HaRi'iyah, the arc of visibility, the distance between the sun and the moon along the path both take when they set. This distance is labeled Keshet Ri'iyah in the second picture of the image file, which we just looked at. And the first piece of information we need in order to reach our goal is a slightly different number, but one easily within our reach, given what we have learned in the last five prakim. The distance between the sun and the moon along the ecliptic, where we know how to measure their positions. This is what the end of Halacha Aleph tells us to calculate. Tigra mikoma shemesh hamiti, mimikoma hayreach hamiti, vanishar hu hanikra orech rishon. There will be several orechs, longitude measurements, in this perek. And this is the first, the orech rishon, equal to the makom hamiti of the moon, minus that of the sun. Continue in Halacha Gimel. V'ponein ba'orech hazeh harishon. Im yetzelecha teisha ma'alot b'shaveh o pachot, teda bevadai she'i afshar leolam she'ira'eh hayarech b'otu ha'layla b'chol Eretz Yisrael. Ve'en ata tzarich cheshbon acher. Ve'im yeh ha'orech harishon yater al 15 malot, teda bevadai she'arech yira'eh b'chol Eretz Yisrael. Ve'en ata tzarich cheshbon acher. Ve'im yeh ha'orech harishon mi'teisha malot v'ad 15, tiztarech lidrosh v'lachkor b'cheshbonot ha'ri'ah ad she'teda im yira'eh o lo yira'eh. If the Orech HaRishon is 9 degrees or less, then the sun and moon are too close together, and it is impossible that the moon will be visible. Conversely, if the Orech HaRishon is more than 15 degrees, then the moon will certainly be visible in all of Eretz Yisrael. It is only in the range between 9 and 15 degrees that further calculations are required. But Halacha Dalet clarifies that this range is relevant only during part of the year, while during the rest of the year we use a different range. במה דברים אמורים? בשהיה מקום הירח אמיתי מתחילת מזל גדי עד סוף מזל תאומים. אבל אם היה מקום הירח מתחילת מזל סרטן עד סוף מזל קשת, והיה האורך הראשון 10 מעלות בשווה או פחות, תדע שאין הירח נראה כלל באותו הלילה בכל ארץ ישראל. ואם היה האורך הראשון יתר על 24 מעלות, ודאי יראה בכל גבול ישראל. ואם יהיה האורך הראשון מ-10 מעלות עד 24, תצטרך לדרוש ולחקור בחשבונות הראשון.
The range of 9 to 15 degrees from Halacha Gimel, in which further calculation is required, is relevant only from the beginning of winter to the beginning of summer, mid-December to mid-June. But from the beginning of summer to the beginning of winter, the correct range is 10 to 24 degrees. That is, if the Orech Rishon is less than 10 degrees, then the moon will definitely not be visible. And only if it is more than 24 degrees can we be certain that the moon will be visible. To understand this difference between the seasons of the year, look at the third illustration in the image file, which shows the situation at sunset on both equinoxes, in September at left and in March at right. On both days, the sun sets along a path called the celestial equator, a solid line in the illustration, which we'll define later, and where the sun is located at the equinoxes. The difference between the days is where the ecliptic, also a solid line, is located relative to the celestial equator. As we said earlier, the angle between them is 23.5 degrees, the tilt of the Earth on its axis. But in March, the ecliptic is north of the celestial equator, meaning that it makes an angle of over 80 degrees, 58 plus 23.5, with the horizon. But in September, the ecliptic is south of the celestial equator, making a much smaller angle of 55 minus 23.5, or about 32 degrees with the horizon. Why is this relevant? Because the Orech Rishon, the annular distance from the sun to the moon, is measured along the ecliptic. This distance is the same or similar and is marked in light blue in both pictures. Because the angle of the ecliptic with the horizon is much greater in March, the moon has a much longer path until it sets, the dotted line in the right picture, compared to the much shorter dotted line in the left picture. We can say informally that each additional degree of Orech Rishon packs more punch, or goes a longer way, toward the possibility of seeing the moon in March than it does in September. Therefore, for the 3 months before and after the spring equinox, the moon may be visible if the Orech Rishon is as small as 9 degrees, and is definitely visible if the Orech Rishon is 15 degrees. But during the rest of the year, when the angle of the ecliptic with the horizon is smaller, and the situation more similar to the one at the autumn equinox, the moon is certainly not visible if the Orech Rishon is less than 10 degrees, and is definitely visible only if the Orech Rishon is 24 degrees or more. So what do we do if the Orech Rishon is in the range of 9 to 15 degrees in the winter and spring, or 10 to 24 degrees in the summer and autumn? We need a more precise measurement of the Keshet Re'iyah, the distance between the sun and the moon along the paths that they take as they set. Most of the remainder of our perek does this, in 5 stages, which we will explain. The first, in Halacha Hey, is to subtract a small amount from the Orech Rishon, how much exactly depending on which mazal the moon is located in. The resulting angle after the subtraction is called the Orech Sheni. Halacha Vav explains why we make this correction. V'lama gor'in chalakim elu, lefi shemekom hayareach amiti eino hamakom shira ebo, ele shinui yesh b'nehen ba'orech uvarochav, v'hu hanikra shinui hamar'eh, v'shinui mar'eh ha'orech b'sh'at ha'ri'ah le'olam gor'in oto min ha'orech kemo sha'amarnu. All the calculations we have made since Perikud Aleph have treated the Earth as a point at the center of the outer celestial sphere. But Earth isn't a point, and the angle measured from the surface of the Earth is different from that which would be measured from the center of the Earth, the exact center of the outer celestial sphere. This effect is known as parallax. The Rambam calls it shinui mar'eh, and comes up all the time in astronomical observations. For the case relevant to us, see the next and fourth illustration in the image file. The Sun is very far away from the Earth, so the distortion due to parallax is negligible. But the Moon is much closer, and the illustration shows the observed positions of the Moon on the outer sphere, that is, the Makom Hamiti of the Moon, at the beginning of the month, both from the center of the Earth and from its surface. The second is closer to the Makom Hamiti of the Sun, and therefore the correction of the Orech Rishon to the Orech Sheni gives a more accurate measure of the observed distance between the Sun and the Moon. So the first stage of finding the Keshet Re'iyah is calculating the Orech Sheni. And the second stage, in Halacha Chet, is making a similar adjustment of the latitude of the Moon, the Rochav. We haven't taken the Rochav of the Moon into account at all until now, but we must do so from here on in order to arrive at our more accurate measurement of the Keshet Re'iyah. But unlike for longitude, where the Orech Sheni is always shorter than the Orech Rishon, as we just saw, Halacha Zayin establishes that the correction from Rochav Rishon, the latitude of the Moon as calculated in the last perek, to the Rochav Sheni can go in either direction, depending on whether the Rochav Rishon is north or south of the ecliptic. Aval shinui mareh ha-rochav, im haya rochav hayareach tzfoni, gor'in chalakim shel shinui mareh ha-rochav min ha-rochav ha-rishon. Vim haya rochav hayareach dromi, mosifin ha-chalakim shel shinui mareh ha-rochav al ha-rochav ha-rishon. Uma shi ha-rochav ha-rishon achar shmosifin alav, o gorim enu, o tam ha-chalakim, hu hanikra rochav sheni. If the Rochav Rishon is to the north, then the Rochav Sheni is obtained from the Rochav Rishon by subtracting a certain amount as listed in Halacha Chet, depending on the constellation where the Moon is located, just like the correction to Orech in Halacha He. But if the Rochav Rishon is to the south, then the Rochav Sheni is obtained by adding to it the amount listed in Halacha Chet. To understand why there is a difference between north latitude and south latitude, look at the next and fifth illustration in the image file. In each of the two pictures, the solid line extending upward from the setting sun is the ecliptic. The gray moon represents the Makom Hamiti of the Moon before the correction for parallax, and the black moon represents the Makom Hamiti of the Moon after this correction. The difference between the pictures is only whether the Rochav of the Moon is north, the picture at right, or south, the picture at left. In both pictures, the corrected Orech Sheni is less than the Orech Rishon. These are labeled in the pictures. But as for Rochav Rishon and Rochav Sheni, labeled Aleph and Bet respectively in both pictures, we see that the Rochav Sheni is the shorter of the two in the picture at right, northern latitude, but is the longer of the two in the picture at left, southern latitude. So the Rochav Sheni is smaller than the Rochav Rishon in the northern case, and larger in the southern case, as we just read in Halacha Zayin. What follows in Halachot Yud Tiyud Aleph is the third stage of finding the Keshet HaRi'iyah, namely, using the Orech Sheni and the Rochav Sheni to calculate something called the Orech Shlishi. Until now, our calculations of the location of the Moon and of its distance from the Sun have all been measured along the ecliptic. But as we explained, the movement of the Sun and the Moon as they set each day are along paths in a different direction, always at an angle of 58 degrees from the horizon. So we essentially wish to perform what we would call in modern math a change of coordinates. Let's not measure longitude and latitude using the ecliptic as our equator, as we did in the last perek, but rather using an equator which is parallel to the motion of the sun and the moon as they set. This is exactly what I referred to earlier as the celestial equator, and it is simply the circle in the celestial sphere which lies directly outward from the equator of the Earth. The circle separating the northern and southern hemispheres. Nowadays, we would use a simple equation to perform a change of coordinates. But the Rambam lived centuries before the development of coordinate geometry, and so his method is laborious and hard to decipher. We'll explain it using the next and sixth illustration in the image file. For now, focus on the picture on top, which shows the relative positions of the ecliptic and the celestial equator in the spring, as we saw earlier, with two possible positions of the moon depending on whether its latitude is north or south. If we were measuring the Orech and Rochav of the moon relative to the ecliptic, as we have been doing until now, then the important point is Aleph, where the ecliptic meets a meridian perpendicular to it. From the sun to point Aleph is the Orech Sheni, and from the moon to point Aleph is the Rochav Sheni. Now that we are changing coordinates, we want first to locate the moon on a line perpendicular to the celestial equator and find where this line intersects the ecliptic. These lines are the two labeled Dalid, one for each possible latitude of the moon, north or south. They hit the ecliptic at points Bet and Gimel respectively. The distance from the sun to whichever of these points is relevant, Bet if the Rochav of the moon is south and Gimel if it is north, is called the Orech Shlishi and will be used in the next part of the calculation. The very long Halacha Yud is a list of values of the length Aleph Bet or Aleph Gimel in the diagram depending on the exact location of the moon, in each case expressed as a certain fraction of the Rochav Sheni. The Rambam calls this length Ma'agal Hayareach, and it is the difference between the Orech Sheni, the sun to point Aleph, and the Orech Shlishi, the sun to point Bet or Gimel. The bottom picture in this page of the image file shows the same exact conversion when the ecliptic is south of the celestial equator as it is in the autumn. Notice, however, a major difference between the two pictures, which the Rambam states in Halacha Yud Aleph. V'achar kach tachzor v'titponen b'rochav hayareach v'tireh im hu tzfoni o dromi. Im haya tzfoni, tigra magal hayareach hazeh min ha'orech hasheni. Im haya rochav hayareach dromi, tosif ha'magal hazeh al ha'orech hasheni. B'med v'rim amurim, b'shehaya mekom hayareach mitchilat mazal gedi ad sof mazal tomim. Aval im haya hayareach mitchilat mazal sartan ad sof mazal keshet, yeh hadavar hefech. Sh'im yeh rochav hayareach tzfoni, tosif ha'magal al ha'orech hasheni. V'im haya rochav hayareach dromi, tigra ha'magal min ha'orech hasheni. U'ma sh'yeh ha'orech hasheni achar sh'tosif alav o tigra menu, hu hanikra orech shlishi. The difference is when this Orech Shlishi is longer and when it is shorter than the Orech Sheni. That is, when the Magal Hayareach needs to be added to the Orech Sheni and when it needs to be subtracted. In the spring arrangement on top, which extends 3 months backward and 3 months forward from the beginning of winter to the beginning of summer, the Orech Shlishi is longer if the moon has a southern latitude and shorter if it has a northern latitude. But in the autumn arrangement of the bottom picture, from the beginning of summer to the beginning of winter, the Orech Shlishi is shorter if the moon has southern latitude and longer if it has northern latitude. Halacha Yud Bet brings us to the fourth stage in calculating the Keshet HaRi'iyah, which completes the change of coordinates begun in the third stage. In that stage, we change the basis of Rochav, latitude measurement, of the moon, from a meridian perpendicular to the ecliptic to one perpendicular to the celestial equator. Now we wish to change the basis of the Orech, longitude measurement, of the moon from the ecliptic, as we have been doing since Perek Yudalid, to the celestial equator itself. This new longitude is called the Orech Rivi'i, and is depicted in the next and second-to-last illustration in the image file. Again, the top picture shows the relative positions of the ecliptic and the celestial equator in the spring, and the bottom picture shows the arrangement in autumn. The distance of Orech Shlishi is marked on the ecliptic, and a broken line parallel to the horizon marks off a point of the same height from the horizon on the celestial equator. The distance from the sun to that point along the celestial equator is the Orech Rivi'i. What is the difference between the two pictures? Only whether the Orech Rivi'i is shorter or longer than the Orech Shlishi. The asterisk on the celestial equator in each picture marks off a distance from the sun equal to the Orech Shlishi. So we see that in the spring, the top picture, the Orech Rivi'i is longer, and in the autumn, the bottom picture, the Orech Rivi'i is shorter. Therefore, in Halacha Yud Bet, the Rambam gives a conversion mechanism from Orech Shlishi to Orech Rivi'i, which involves adding or subtracting a certain fraction of the Orech Shlishi, which depends on the time of year. In the months near the spring equinox, this fraction must be added, because the Orech Rivi'i is longer. And in the months near the autumn equinox, this fraction is subtracted. The last part of Halacha Yud Bet describes the fifth and final stage in obtaining the Keshet Ri'iyah. And we'll read it together inside before explaining it. V'achar kach tachzor etzel rochav hayareach harishon, v'tikach menu shnei shlishav le'olam. וזהו הנקרא מנת גובה המדינה. ותתבונן ותראה, אם יהיה רוחב הירח צפוני, תוסיף מנת גובה המדינה על האורך הרביעי. ואם יהיה רוחב הירח דרומי, תגרע מנת גובה המדינה מן האורך הרביעי. ומה שיהיה האורך הרביעי אחר שגורעים לנו או מוסיפים עליו, הוא הנקרא קשת הראייה. To understand this last modification of the Orech Revi'i, look at the last illustration in the image file. The Orech Revi'i measures the distance from the Sun to the Moon along the celestial equator. But this exact distance is only relevant if the Sun and Moon were both to set along a path perpendicular to the horizon, as happens at the equator. As the illustration indicates, when the horizon is at a different angle, then the effective distance between the Sun and the Moon is either longer or shorter, depending both on the angle between the horizon of the equator and the actual horizon, and whether the latitude of the moon is north or south. The illustration shows the horizon in Yerushalayim, which we know is at a 32-degree angle from the horizon at the equator, because the latitude of Yerushalayim is 32 degrees north. If the rochav of the moon is north, this increases the time until the moon sets. If the rochav of the moon is south, then the time until the moon sets is shorter. Halacha Yud Bet gives a simple formula, which seems to be just an approximation, but one which is good enough for our calculations. Take 2/3 of the original Rochav of the moon, the Rochav Rishon, calculated as in the last Perek. This amount is called the Menat Gova HaMedina. Add it to the Orech Revi'i if the Rochav Rishon is north, and subtract it from the Orech Revi'i if the Rochav Rishon is south. And this last adjustment, finally, brings us to the Keshet Re'iya, the accurate measurement of the distance from the Sun to the Moon on the paths along which they set. Before getting to how to use the Keshet Re'iya to determine if the Moon is visible, the Rambam, as has been his approach in all these Prakim, gives in Halachot Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet a worked-out example, illustrating all of the steps discussed in this perek, to find the Keshet Re'iya for Friday, the 2nd of Iyar, in the year 4938. We know from earlier prakim the Makom Hamiti of the Sun and of the Moon, as well as the Rochav, that is, the Rochav Rishon, of the Moon. Subtracting the Makom Hamiti of the Sun from that of the Moon gives an Orech Rishon of 11 degrees and 27 minutes. Since this is within the range, which requires further analysis to find the Keshet Re'iya, we proceed with the five steps outlined in Halachot Hei through Yud Bet. The first step is to find the Orech Sheni from the Orech Rishon, that is the correction for parallax, based on the values in Halacha Hei and the exact location of the moon. This comes out to 10 degrees and 27 minutes. The second step is to find the Rochav Sheni based on the values in Halacha Chet, adding or subtracting depending on whether the Rochav is south or north, respectively. This comes out to 4 degrees and 3 minutes. Recall that the Orech Sheni and Rochav Sheni are a more precise measure of longitude and latitude relative to the ecliptic, still based on the difference in parallax between an observation from the center of the Earth and observation from its surface. Now we convert from a coordinate system using the ecliptic as an equator to one using the celestial equator instead. The third step is to find the Orech Shlishi by taking a certain fraction of the Rochav Sheni, what's called the Magal HaYireach, based on the list in Halacha Yud, and adding it to, or subtracting it from, the Orech Sheni. In our example, this fraction is a quarter. And because the season is spring and the Rochav of the moon is south, this fraction is added to obtain an Orech Shlishi of 11 degrees and 28 minutes. The fourth step is to find the Orech Revi'i from this by adding a fraction of it as per the numbers in Halacha Yud Bet, adding, not subtracting, because in spring, the Orech Revi'i is longer than the Orech Shlishi, as we explained. This fraction is 1/5, so we multiply the Orech Shlishi by 6/5 to obtain an Orech Revi'i of 13 degrees and 46 minutes. The fifth and last step is to find the Menat Gova HaMedina by taking 2/3 of the original Rochav Rishon, which comes out to 2 degrees and 35 minutes. And because the Rochav is south, we subtract the Menat Gova HaMedina from the Orech Revi'i to arrive, finally, at a Keshet Re'iya of 11 degrees and 11 minutes. So what does this mean? How do we tell from the Keshet Re'iya if the moon is visible that evening? Halacha Tetvav explains. V'achar sheteitze keshet zo, tavin ba, v'da, she'im tiye keshet ha-ri'ya teisha malot o pachot, I efshar she'ira'e b'chol Eretz Yisrael. V'im tiye keshet ha-ri'ya yater al arba esrei malot, I efshar she'lo yira'e, v'ye galui l'chol Eretz Yisrael. If the Keshet Re'iyah is less than 9 degrees, then the moon is certainly not visible. If it is more than 14 degrees, then the moon is certainly visible. Note that here, the Rambam makes no distinction, as he did at the beginning of the Perek, between the seasons of the year. These boundary values of 9 and 14 degrees are relevant all year round. This makes perfect sense. Recall that the reason for the difference between seasons, back in Halachot Gimel and Dalet, was due to the fact that the Orech Rishon was measured along the ecliptic, and how much this contributes to seeing the moon depends on the angle of the ecliptic relative to the horizon, as we explained there using the third illustration in the image file. But in the Keshet Re'iyah, we have moved away from a system of measuring along the ecliptic to a system of measuring relative to the celestial equator, and the angle of the celestial equator with the horizon is the same all year round, 58 degrees in the vicinity of Yerushalayim. So what do we do if even the more precise Keshet Re'iyah is between 9 and 14 degrees? Halacha Tzayin tells us what to do. V'im tieh Keshet Re'iyah mitchilat mala asirit ad sof malat arba asrei, taroch Keshet Re'iyah el haorech harishon, v'teida im yera'eh hayreach o lo yera'eh min hakitzin shiyesh lo, v'ein hanikra'in kitzei hare'iyah. There is one more calculation to perform in this case, to determine, or at least predict as best we can, whether the moon will be visible. This calculation is called Kitzei HaRe'iyah, and is extremely straightforward. Add together the degree measures of the Keshet Re'iyah and of the Orech Rishon, in both cases using just the whole number of degrees and ignoring the minutes completely. Halachot Yud Zayin through Chaf Aleph list the details, which can be summed up in one simple rule. If these two numbers add up to 22 or more, then the moon will definitely be visible. Vaday Yera'eh. If they add up to less than 22, then the moon will not be visible. Lo Yera'eh. In each of these five halachot, the Rambam repeats the phrases Vaday Yera'eh if the sum is at least 22, and Lo Yera'eh if it isn't. The emphasis on vadai only in the positive direction may indicate that this test is much stronger in one direction than in the other. A sum of 22 or more is a sure sign that the moon will be visible, but a smaller sum does not guarantee that the moon will not be seen, only, perhaps, makes it unlikely. To illustrate the use of this rule of Kitzei Re'iyah, the Rambam in Halacha Chaf Bet completes his example of Friday, the 2nd of Iyar, in the year 4938. We found that the Keshet Re'iyah had length 11 degrees and 11 minutes, and the Orech Rishon was 11 degrees and 27 minutes. Leaving the minutes aside, the number of degrees adds up to 11 plus 11, that's 22. And therefore we reach the conclusion that the moon will definitely be visible on that night. The Adpshuta points out that scholars who have investigated the Rambam's work are at a loss to identify the source of this rule of Kitzei HaRe'iyah. Most of the Rambam's astronomical knowledge came from the works of Al-Battani, as we've explained, who applies a more complicated formula in this case. The Yad Peshutta suggests that either the Rambam simplified the general formula of Al-Battani for the specific application discussed in this perek, or that the Rambam is relying here on an oral tradition rather than any written work. Recall that the Rambam made specific reference to oral traditions back in Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Gimel. The Rambam concludes the Perek, and really the entire last seven prakim, with a summary statement starting in Halacha Chaf Gimel. Uchva ra'ita min ha'masim ha'elu, kama cheshbonot yesh bo, v'chama tosafot, v'chama geiru'in achar she'aganu harbei ad shehamtzionu drachim krovim she'ein b'cheshbonam omek ador. Shairech akalkalot gedolot yesh b'maglotav, ulfichach amru chachamim, shemesh yada mevo'o, yareach lo yada mevo'o. V'amru chachamim, pamim ba baruka, pamim ba biktzara, kamo shetire mecheshbonot elu, shepamim tosif, ufamim tigra, ad shetetze keshet ha'ri'iyah, ufamim tie keshet ha'ri'iyah aruka, ufamim ktzara, kamo shebiarnu. From all of the above, you can see how much calculation is required and how much work needs to be invested in order to arrive at a correct method for determining if the moon will be visible in the evening. This is because the moon has many irregularities in its orbit. Chazal have a drasha on the pasuk from Tehillim in the Mizmor of Barchi Nafshi recited on Rosh Chodesh of Shemesh Yada Mevo'o. The sun's movement is known and understood, but that of the moon is not. This is reflected in our calculations, where several different considerations affect whether we add or subtract, and whether the Keshet Re'iyah ends up being long or short. Halacha Chaf Dalet. V'tam kol eilu cheshbonot, u'mipnei ma mosifin minyan ze, u'mipnei ma gorin, v'ha'ach noda kol davar v'davar me'ilu hadvarim, v'ha'raya al kol davar v'davar, hi chochmat ha'tkufot v'ha'gimatriyaot, shichibru ba chachmei avan sfarim harbei, v'hem ha'metsuyin achshav b'yad ha'chachamim. Aval ha'sfarim shichibru chachmei Yisrael, shayu b'mei ha'nviim m'bnei Yisachar, lo higiyu eleinu. ומאחר שכל אלו הדברים בראיות ברורות הן שאין בהן דופי ואי אפשר לאדם להר אחריהן אין חוששים למחבר בין שחיברו אותם נביאים בין שחיברו אותם גויים שכל דבר שנתגלה תמו ונודע אמיתתו בראיות שאין בהן דופי אין סומכין על זה האיש שמרו או שלימדו אלא על הראיה שנתגלתה והתם שנודע. Here the Rambam acknowledges his sources of the details presented in these prakim, the ancient Greek astronomers and mathematicians, who wrote books on these matters, which were subsequently improved upon by later scholars, like Al-Battani, whom the Rambam doesn't mention by name, but surely includes among the Chachamim, who carried on the work of the ancient Greeks. This knowledge, the Rambam insists, was known to Jewish scholars of antiquity. According to Chazal, the Shevet of Yisachar were experts in the knowledge of astronomy and in the calculations relevant to the calendar, and they were the original bearers and transmitters of Sod HaYibur, but their written works and oral traditions were lost, and so we can only know this information from the works of non-Jewish Greek scholars. The Rambam ends with an extremely important principle, which reflects his approach to knowledge and seeking out truth. It doesn't bother us, he says, that the sources of our knowledge of astronomy are the works of non-Jews, because these matters have been proven true in a manner which leaves no room for doubt. When this is the case, it doesn't matter who the bearer of the knowledge is, because the knowledge itself is undoubtedly true. Reading these words of the Rambam, more than 800 years after he wrote them, there is something of an irony in the fact that the physical models used by the ancient astronomers, with the sun and planets orbiting the earth in perfect circles, are now, in fact, known to be entirely false. Nonetheless, it is inspiring to hear, in the Rambam's own words, of his absolute devotion to truth, and of his willingness to accept the truth from wherever it originates, and from whoever has sufficient intellectual power and scope to discover it and reveal it to the world.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.